WGRQ, Colonial Beach, Fredericksburg, Lexington Park. It's 9 o'clock.
A protest note from Washington to the Kremlin. I'm Bob Conway on the Satellite News Network. Saying there has been a deep breach of security at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow, President Reagan announced today the State Department has filed a formal protest with the Soviets, responding to allegations of misconduct by Marine guards assigned to the embassy, as well as reports that a new embassy building now under construction may already be bugged. Mr. Reagan said the U.S. will not move into that new building, and the Soviets will not be allowed to use their new embassy in Washington unless he is certain the diplomatic compound in Moscow is secure. The State Department revealed today that five civilians who worked at the embassy in Moscow have been sent back to the U.S. in the last year, two of them for associating with Soviet citizens. Spokesman Charles Redman adding,
a number of them, I do know, have come back for reasons having absolutely nothing to do with any kind of violations of that sort, but for poor job performance, that there's clearly not any direct linkage with the espionage case.
President Reagan also said during a White House press briefing today there's no need for Secretary of State Shultz to cancel his trip to Moscow next week because of the embassy's security problems. Thousands of IRA supporters fought running battles with security forces in Northern Ireland tonight. They also torched buses and cars to protest fighting between police and mourners during a slain guerrilla's funeral. A sniper shot and seriously wounded a British Army soldier in the IRA stronghold of West Belfast. For the first time in 5 months, residents were able to leave an embattled Palestinian refugee camp in Beirut, Lebanon today after Syrian troops deployed inside the camp. Women and children hailed the Syrians as trucks rolled into the damaged camp where heavily armed soldiers set up fixed positions. On Wall Street, Dow Industrials off sharply today, down about 44 points to close just under the 2361 level. Trading was heavy, 187 million shares. An average share lost 67 cents. It's 2 minutes past. Lots of people in this country are routinely subjected to taps on their telephones, and they are not criminals. Telephone operators, airline reservation clerks, and others who spend a lot of time on the phone are routinely monitored by their bosses. A bill has been introduced in Congress which would close a loophole in the nation's wiretap laws and make such secret monitoring illegal. The bill is supported by the Communications Workers of America, whose president, Morton Barr, says,
the thrust of this bill is to give employees the same rights in the workplace that they have outside of the workplace. It reserves for law enforcement agencies the right to wiretap with an appropriate court order.
The sponsor of the bill, California Congressman Don Edwards, says that the monitoring of employee phone calls has become the greatest invasion of privacy ever in the U.S. in this century. This is the Satellite News Network.
ERQ, Colonial Beach, Fredericksburg, Lexington Park. It's 5 o'clock.
That broadcast writer's strike is half over. I'm Bob Conway on the Satellite News Network. And from New York, Ed Kerens reports that the news writers at one of the two networks involved have accepted a new contract.
CBS news writers have voted overwhelmingly to accept a proposed contract, thus ending a 46-day-old strike. A spokeswoman for the Writers Guild of America says the strike proved that it's possible for 325 people to say no to a Fortune 500 company that believed it could undo a hard-won contract simply because it wanted to. The Guild represents 525 news writers who struck both CBS and ABC. About 175 ABC writers are still off the job, and an ABC spokesman says the vote by CBS workers is not expected to have any impact on the continuing talks between ABC and the Guild. The contract approval between CBS and its writers has ended the strike, which began on March 2nd. Ed Kerens, New York.
The Federal Communications Commission announced today that it is beginning a crackdown on the use of offensive language on radio and TV programs. The FCC says that in the future, stations will have to adhere to narrower standards of what can be aired. Diane Killery is a general counsel for the FCC, and she explains.
The commission has, for the last number of years, interpreted indecency in a very narrow fashion. Unless you used seven specific words that had been used in a previous case that were called the seven dirty words in a repetitive manner, we found that that did not constitute indecency. What we're doing today is we're applying, almost reapplying, the general definition.
Killery says the FCC is especially concerned about programming that might be seen and heard by children. It says that cable TV is not affected by today's decision. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials finished the session about 7 points lower at 2275.99, trading an active 190 million shares. An average share of stock was up 40 cents. It's 2 minutes past. The father of presidential assailant John Hinckley Jr. is reacting to that decision by a hospital in Washington, D.C. not to allow his son an Easter weekend visit with his family in Colorado. More on the story from reporter Vicki Barker in Washington.
Appearing on NBC's Today Show at his own request, John Hinckley Sr. said his son is being denied an Easter visit with his family because of groundless hysteria. St. Elizabeth's Hospital yesterday withdrew its request for the visit after 3 days of highly publicized hearings, during which Hinckley's psychiatrist said his patient had written to Florida death row inmate Ted Bundy. The elder Hinckley says his son wrote to Bundy simply as one human being to another, and he says his son is now free of the obsession that led him to shoot President Reagan and three others 6 years ago. Hinckley says the hospital will again try to allow his son to leave the grounds when, in his words, the hysteria over the case has subsided. Vicki Barker, Washington.
This is the Satellite News Network.
DRQ, Colonial Beach, Fredericksburg, Lexington Park. It's 5 o'clock.
It's going to be a tough fight, but President Reagan says an arms reduction deal with the Soviet Union is within reach. I'm Bill Polish on the Satellite News Network.
Finding the pathway to a safer, more peaceful world will take unity among free peoples, as well as all the courage, tenacity, and hard-nosed bargaining power we Americans can muster.
In his weekly radio speech, the president also called on the Soviet Union to give more freedom to its dissidents. In the Democratic response to that speech, Senator Frank Lautenberg focused on the growing federal budget deficit.
America has been on a binge, and it's time for a cold shower after the bad night out. America has to wake up, and it has to shape up. Our future depends on it. Most of all, our children's future demands it.
Lautenberg says congressional Republicans don't recognize the need for higher taxes to solve the government's budget troubles. This is the third week in a row the Democrats have focused on the budget and the deficit. Well, maybe you have come a long way, baby, but as Vicki Barker reports, you've got a little farther to go when comparing paychecks with men.
The study by 9 to 5, the National Association of Working Women, found that more and more women are joining the workforce, but their pay still lags behind men's. Full-time women workers make only 64 cents for every dollar made by full-time men. 4 out of 5 women workers earn less than $19,000 per year. Although the number of working mothers with small children is on the rise, the workplace apparently hasn't caught up with them. The study found that only 1% of employees in medium and large companies get any kind of child care benefits. The majority get no maternity leave, and only 13% of working women are on some kind of flexible work schedule designed to accommodate child care. Vicki Barker, Washington.
In the Midwest and Plains states today, people basked in summer-like weather. Record high temperatures in the 70s, 80s, and 90s were reported in at least 15 cities across 10 states of the Midwest. It's 2 minutes past. Actor-comedian Dick Shawn was performing last night in suburban San Diego just after he delivered a punchline. He collapsed onto the stage. The audience roared, thinking it was part of his act. It wasn't.
Apparently a doctor in the audience started CPR on him right away. And the CPR was continued all the way to our hospital, which is probably only about 5 or 10 minutes away because we're sort of adjacent to the UCSD campus.
Diane Yohe at Scripps Memorial Hospital in La Jolla says doctors worked for nearly an hour to revive Sean, but couldn't. A heart attack's been ruled the preliminary cause of death pending an autopsy. Sean was 57 years old. The Energy Department says the United States detonated a nuclear weapon beneath the Nevada desert today. The test comes less than 24 hours after the Soviet Union announced it conducted a nuclear test at its Central Asian site. Today's U.S. test had a yield of 20 to 150 kilotons. This is the Satellite News Network.